Blog Talk Radio.
Still feeling the pain from exiting the womb of ignorance into a world designed to kill me at birth. I am protected. The Elder Council consisting of Grand Grand and Baba, Doc Jones and Mama Ya, Lucky, Stormy, and then Antoine and Geraldine, Doc Sobol, Sister Parsi, and Brother DeBril send forth the energy to make us feel our work is not in vain.
We say Nia. How you doing, big bro?
What's going on, my brother? How are you?
Everything is everything, as we always say, trying to overthrow white supremacy, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir, always.
Oh, yeah, what our church brothers and sisters say, it's an uphill journey.
So we got to keep climbing all the time.
Man, what you say. something crucial. It is imperative that we continue the struggle. You know, I mean, sometimes it feels like we're not really making an impact, but there does seem to be an awakening among the people.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone is not going to come. Sister Harriet already told us that she could have freed more slaves, or she could have convinced more slaves that they were slaves. And so we're fighting a battle with minimal with minimal materials, as we'll say. You know, we have to go against an entire propaganda system. We have to fight the white supremacist TV, media, radio, and all of that good stuff. You know, Caesar's jobs. You know, we have to compete with everything, his education. And on all fronts, we're being attacked. So we just have to fight on all fronts and eventually try to overthrow white supremacy to where we can sustain ourselves on an independent basis. You know. So how you doing there, big bro?
Man, like I said, man, just trying to maintain, brother. It's a hard-pressed fight, man, to stay sane in the midst of all this kind of stuff, man. You know, when I was a little boy, I used to walk past the men on the corner talking to themselves and everything, and just really didn't understand that a lot of them brothers were revolutionaries. They fought diligently during the 60s, 50s and 60s, man, trying to make sure that black people have, you know, their rights to decent housing and food and opportunities and stuff like that. And it seemed like nobody really cared about the struggle after integration and everything. So it's kind of like what we're going through now, brother. You know, you're trying to bring forth information that will empower black people to take upon themselves the ability to make critical decisions about their lives, but kind of like what them brothers may have gone through back in the days, seems like it's falling on deaf ears, bro.
Yeah, it really does, man. And again, going back to our brothers and sisters who are still in the church, a lot of times it seems as if we're casting your pearls among swine, so to say. You know, and you know, a lot of us are, as we would call it, American dreaming right now. You know, and but things happen, and there's always someone who will share that interest with you. You know, as we always say, white supremacy is not over and done with just because we can now eat in the same restaurant that our oppressor eats in. Or that we can use the bathroom in the same facilities that our oppressor uses the bathroom. Only thing that did was gave us the right to make them rich, really, because we're giving them our money and not supporting our own.
Exactly.
John Henry Clark said that upon integration, we forgot that we had to do things for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm subscribed to this newspaper, this online newspaper entitled Not Your Mama's News. My sister by the name of Michelle Roberts. I mean, just a very, very beautiful sister. Even upon us making contact over the internet, the sister hit me up immediately and was like, "Brother, I think I can, you know, really help you and your brother do some things with your organization. I see you are working so hard." And I mean, the sister didn't know me from Adam, you know, and she immediately reached out, and just a very sweet sister. And she wrote an article in this week's publication entitled The Struggle That We Yet Deal With. And overall, the occurrence of hate crime in America has dropped 1% in the last year. In the media from Florida to Washington State, this 2007 statistic, like the election of Barack Obama, is being touted as a banner of America's growing maturity and tolerance. 1%, right? With that, in brief hours between Obama's rousing inauguration and to the national stage on the podium at the 2004 Democratic Convention that exhilarated preparations for him to assume leadership on the international stage that America grew to manifest the dream, she did not. We have not. NPR questions the reliability of hate crime stats, and their headlines consistently underscore the reasons for doubt. No American is exempt. Though all of us are prone to claim the bulk of the evil is directed against our particular race, religion, and lifestyle. December 13th, a 28-year-old San Francisco woman was kidnapped, beaten, and raped by four men who made comments indicating that they were aware that the victim's sexual orientation. The attack occurred after the victim got out of a car in full sight of her attackers. There is speculation that the Rainbow Pride sticker displayed on the vehicle provoked the brutal assault. Now, I'm not one to say that homosexuality is correct, you know what I'm saying, at all. I think that is anti-African. But, you know, just a way to show how the media lies to us, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And here's one that we definitely identify with, Big Bro. On December 22nd, Keith and Kevin Harris, Dallas County felony prosecutors, were named to assist Special Prosecutor Toby Shook on the controversial Lamar County murder case against Shannon Keith Finley and Charles Ryan Crossley. Both men were charged in September for dragging Brandon Big Boy McClellan outside of Paris, Texas. McClellan and the pair were known as the drinking buddies, and while they have been much pressured to exert the prosecution of the manner of the case, judicial authorities have declined to do so. You know, so there's another hate crime. I mean, the sister goes on and on just describing some of the hate crimes, and one in being studied at North Carolina University.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, most of the time, the mainstream media does not cover cases of that sort. And we are left to think that, you know, upon integration, we were free.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that is actually not the case. And that's who we will be talking to tonight, Sister Michelle Roberts. And what we're going to do, Big Bro, what did you want to respond to that article?
Well, like you just said, Brother, those kind of articles don't make mainstream media. And those that, you know, some people unfortunately believe that if it's seen on the news, then it's true. Or if the newspaper picks it up, then it has to be true. And if it doesn't appear in the newspaper or in the news, then it don't exist. You know, and it's unfortunate that a lot of our people believe like that, but that's the way they've been trained to believe. And I would just like to thank that sister for bringing to the forefront the fact that these crimes do yet still occur. So I take my hats off to the sister.
Exactly, exactly. And what we're gonna do is get we're gonna play a song right now by yours truly. If you have yet to pick up that CD, The Re-Education of the Negro by Brothers Keeper, please go do so. All the proceeds benefit our prison prevention program. We feed the homeless every other Sunday. We have theater camps and poetry camps for the youth, and we don't get any grants. We don't get any corporate funding or any type of sponsoring. We strictly rely on the support of the people in order for us to help our people. So you all please log on to cdbaby.com/brotherskeeper. cdbaby.com/brotherskeeper. And we'll be right back with you. And when we come back, we'll be talking to Sister Michelle Roberts. Real talk with Brothers Keeper. Check this out. Be right back.
Freedom, 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 fre
your own brother's keeper. And your guru is Kiswahili for freedom. That's what we're thinking about, freedom. And that's what we try to live every day, trying to make sure that our children don't grow up singing "We Shall Overcome" for any purpose other than entertainment purposes. If they do, then our living has been in vain. That's your guru by your own brother's keeper. What's going on, big bro?
Man, I love that song.
Yeah, it's really cool.
You can feel the passion in that song, can't you, bro?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, big brother, we've gotten Sister Michelle Roberts on the line from Not Your Mama's News. Are you there, sister?
Indeed, I am. How y'all doing tonight?
Oh,
hey,
everything. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And as we spoke earlier, Sister Michelle has her own internet publication entitled Not Your Mama's News. And what inspired that name, sister?
Well, the truth is I couldn't have the domain name I wanted, and that's the first thing that came to mind. God is good. It was the right one.
Okay. Wonderful, wonderful. And that, I mean, that name certainly does get to you. It certainly does. Now, if you will, though, introduce yourself to the radio/internet crowd.
You already did. Name is Michelle Roberts. I published Not Your Mama's News. I don't know really what else you might want to know about me, but you'll probably get more understanding from a conversation than a bio. So you mind if I say a little something about some things y'all said earlier?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Thank you. You kept talking about the white oppressor. Why
yes,
y'all
ma'am.
Give him that much power?
Oh,
white folks don't have that much power. We're not oppressed. We're confused. We think we're oppressed. And I'm sorry, my brothers, but I don't think we need to perpetuate that. That's why Not Your Mama's News.
Hmm.
We have always had the power.
Yes, indeed. I must agree with you there, of us always having the power. But we certainly come from a standpoint of not giving giving them that power. What we'll say is that we're giving credit where credit is due on that. When you're trying to diagnose a problem, if you go into a doctor's office and you just say, you know, I'm sick, heal me, the doctor first has to get, you know, he has to know what is going on, you know, what has made you sick. And in that instance, that is where we refer to us as being an oppressed people due to white supremacy. And you are correct as far as if we have the power and we've always had the power. But the thing is that we don't know we have the power due to white supremacy.
What if I said to you that the reality is that Caucasians, American and otherwise, only make up about 5% of the world's population? That one of the very first things they found out when they started their travels was that no matter who it is they mate with, if that person is not a Caucasian, they disappear. What I'm trying to get you to consider is that the oppression, the supremacy, is the crux of the entire lie, because they know they're the weak link. They know all you have to do is touch them and they disappear.
Yes.
So they created a falsehood, a mask, that says we're big and we're bad and we're scary and we can do all it is. But they can't. And they never could. They always knew they never could. Remember, they brought their own slaves with them. Every time they went somewhere, they took their own slaves with them, slaves that looked just like them.
Well, that, well,
let's
that,
not
that,
give them any more credit for being supreme.
Well, I mean, we're definitely not going to give them credit for being supreme. But the only way that so few can rule so many is that the so few are overwhelmingly evil. Even with when Christopher Columbus so-called sailed to the what is known as the Americas, he wrote back to the Queen that these people are an humble people. These people are a kind people. These people are gentle people. They don't even have weapons. The only weapons on them that I see are stones that are sharpened to a point to which they do not use for other purposes than hunting. So if you give me an army of 500 men or an army of 50 men, I will be able to slaughter them wholesale. And see, no other race of people has been able to coincide peacefully with this white man or white male because of them being so overwhelmingly methodically evil. No one else thinks on the mindset that they do of conquering and competition. And that's what we're referring to.
I agree with you.
I understand what you're saying, you know, as far as giving them power. But we have been rendered an overdosage of amnesia to where we think that we can love our enemy into submission instead of coming up with some type of system of independence to where we do not have to live with them or being dependent upon them for our basic needs.
You always make me so happy when I talk to you. So happy. I agree with you that there is nothing more violent, or I believe the word you used was competitive, on the planet. I don't think I can co-sign evil for you. I think the real word is fear. And I think that if you take just half a step back and think about what I said, 5% of the population, you don't need a gun to kill them. They just disappear automatically. Look at your president. He comes from a long line of white people. One black man showed up, and what you got?
Well, feel free to jump in at any time, big bro. You still there?
Look, the second
Yeah, I'm still here, bro.
The
second
part
of that is so accurate. We need to plan. We need a plan.
Yeah, and I agree with you. We do need a plan.
I definitely agree with you, sister, the fact that we need a plan. And what has happened is that we have become so fearful that fear has immobilized us.
Yeah.
To the point that we don't want to plan. We're too scared to plan. Anytime someone thinks outside of the box, or anytime someone does not react in the manner that most people are trained to react or interact in, then they become the outsider so that the others may go on with the norm. So we agree with you wholeheartedly on what you're saying, sister. It's just a lot of people do not understand the concept of the unseen hand. The unseen hand, the person that's working in the background that makes black men not take care of their children, that is part of the reason why black women won't have that black man in their house, you know, stuff like that. This is an operation that has been going on since the beginning of our conquering and being brought to the Americas.
Long before that.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. But
that's
what
why
we're seeing now.
Picking words, because words are so important.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely correct.
They are so important, and that's why I was nitpicky about what do you mean oppressed? What do you mean supremacy? Okay. Because that's part of the brainwash system. We believe that. We believe they are the oppressor.
Some of us believe that. Some of us believe that, but some of us act like that. You know, it's just like the debate of the Willie Lynch letter. People say, oh, I don't believe that a letter like that even exists. But there's no way you can dispute the fact that we act just like that letter says.
Well.
So whether, yes, we do. Yes, we do. So what we have to do is, whether that letter is for real or not, we have to start breaking that behavior that the letter suggests. We act as if they have put us in this barrier where light-skinned women don't like dark-skinned women, and if you effeminize the male, then the sister will take on an independent role and she will roll right on over the top of it. So We have to break these curses that we have inside of our own race, inside of our own families and households, but we have to first understand that there is...
You got a game plan?
Ma'am?
Do you have a game plan?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, what's the game plan?
To educate my children.
Okay,
what's going on.
I know what y'all are doing, but I see that as only a piece of the game plan. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Only a piece. Let's make the game plan a little bigger. Where are we going to get the cash from?
Well, see, that's where you're going to come in. And that's where some doctors going to come in. And we're going to heal. And we're going to educate. And we're going to economically empower. And we're going to do all of this on the same game front. That's why we need you. That's why you need us. And that's why we need everybody else that's going to pitch into this thing. Because it's going to take a concerted effort.
Okay, check this out. I believe that we can raise $100,000 minimum.
Yes.
On inauguration day.
Yes, ma'am. I
believe we can do that, okay? Not only do I believe that we can do that, but I believe that if we do that, we can change the way that America does business. Now, I want you to hear me because I didn't say African America.
Mm-hmm.
I said America.
Okay.
If we prove that we can put together $100,000 or better by Inauguration Day, we have changed the world. That is why we elected this man, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the deal, guys. We spend all of our time focused on them, what they're doing, what they ain't doing, what's wrong with them, what ain't wrong with them, how we want to be like them, how we don't want to be like them, what we forgot, what we remembered, them.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind them. We're all in the middle of an economic crisis. Most of us wonder, walking around crying broke all the time, and that ain't as far from the truth as it used to be. Do you know that if we took $1, $1 each, and put it in a pot that says, my community, that by the end of the year we can buy the community?
Yeah.
At the end of the year we wouldn't have to talk about how we're going to educate our children, we could build a school.
That's what I'm talking about, right?
In every city in America, at the end of the year, we wouldn't spend our time on Ning in what is the name of that place, Connect Platform, trying to hustle each other for twos and pews.
Right, right.
We could build each other's businesses a dollar. It don't matter that I'm yellow and you black. It don't matter that I'm black and you white. It never has. It's always been about economics.
As Big Brother said, as Malcolm said, we can't fight on any one front, but on all fronts. And so what everybody brings, every piece that everyone brings to the table is an important piece to complete the puzzle. And you have brothers and sisters that have the talent that you have, Sister Michelle, you know, who can go out and create jobs or, you know, create money and get, you know, financial resources. And then you have, you know, cats like us with our talent to where we deal with the youth, you know, and the way that we speak, we have a particular audience. Now, there's no way that I can go up to a Crip and tell this Crip or this Blood, this GD or Vice Lord, you know, in a very nice manner, you know what I'm saying, well, you know, your problems are basically your problems, and you're going to have to pull yourself up by your bootstrap. Is a certain language that young man. I'm just saying, you know, that's how, you know, and you have, you know, certain people who may be able to go to that middle class brother or sister, and you know, and explain things to that person. Oh, you know, so everyone has a good piece to the puzzle.
But you can't go to those kids and explain, hey, you know what? If we just put a dollar a week together on a consistent basis, this time next year we don't have to do this because we have a foundation to do something else. That's the beauty of it, and that's the magic of it, because you're not talking anymore about I need $1,000 or $20,000 or $200,000.
Yeah.
You're talking about
I
need a dollar.
If you will, explain to the listening crowd, you were running down and an economic plan you had, and you just hit it, you just hinted on that. Will you explain to the listening crowd what you're doing with your financial program?
The 100,000 Angels Experiment. It's just what I told you. I honestly believe that African America has the power to change America right now. Not in 4 years, right now. I believe that African America has the power to give Barack Obama the ability to do and be everything he has promised with a dollar, with $1. If on Inauguration Day we would all give $1 to the 100,000 Angels Experiment, 100,000 angels is $100,000, but how many millions of us are there really?
Mm-hmm.
Brothers Keeper is funded. Unity Design is funded. Historical Inspirations is funded. Heck, the newspaper is funded. The writers with their small businesses that work for the newspaper, they're funded. How? At $1.
Mm.
$1.
That's a concept.
We don't need welfare anymore. We don't need to worry about what the man's doing anymore. If we can just show our community that by investing $1 in the community, we can change the community forever. It's cookie cutter. It's repeatable. $1. We've eliminated all the unity problems. Go ahead, put together $100,000 on Inauguration Day. Are we really going to keep up these petty fights about I'm yellow and you're black? That's what we do to entertain ourselves because we're frustrated because we don't know how to get our hands on enough money to manifest our dream. Well, we already have enough money to manifest our dream. All we have to do is remember who we were pre-integration, come together as a community, and do what we need to do. The reason you don't have the funding that you want, that not just you singularly, but you all over the country and so many beautiful brothers and sisters with so much love in their hearts don't have the money that they want, don't have the ability to do the things that they do, is what we lost to integration was a sense of community. And with that sense of community, we lost our economic foundation.
Mm-hmm.
We no longer supported our stores. We no longer supported our shoe businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Our restaurants. Our teachers lived on the other side of town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were definitely, as John Henry Clark would say, was given a bone when we thought we were being given a hammer.
And hello.
With this integration thing, we were, what were we, brother? Was it South Carolina? And the mood of the people were very festive. And you know, we asked the people, why are you all so happy? What's going on? And they said, well, the Klan owns a restaurant up here, and they wouldn't let black people eat, so we sued them, and now we have the right to eat there. And
why do you want to get a Klan your money?
Yeah, I mean, they piled in the restaurant and ate, you know, so I'm like, you know, now.
Gave their money away.
Those are the kind of things that we're talking about, you know what I'm saying? So you're going to pay someone who doesn't like you, no. Not only are you going to make them rich, but you're going to make them rich while they try to kill you. You know what I'm saying? You're eating from your enemy, you know what I'm saying, basically. And, you know, so those are the type of things that we're talking about. And like you said, you know, we lost our sense of community. And along with that went our economic power. Every now and then you may find something that's black-owned in a black neighborhood. Every now and then. And then when you do, it's nothing more than a car wash or a hot wing stand or a beeper or a cell phone shop.
Well, see, I'm saying that we take it back. And
right.
The easiest way, the fastest way to take it back is to build an independent economic foundation.
Mm.
We can
You're
do that
right.
Instantly.
And that is correct. Tell you what we're going to do is you said the name of your project is 100 Angels?
The name of the project is the 100,000 Angels Experiment.
100,000 Angels, okay. wonderful, wonderful. We want you to hold that thought, and we're going to play another song right now. And when we come back, we want you to let the people know, if you will, how indeed we can support that program to make it successful. If you're just now tuning in, you're listening to Real Talk with Brothers Kiba by way of MasterGrio.com. As usual, we always want to send a thank you shout out to Sister Jackie at MasterGrio.com for allowing us the opportunity as well as the responsibility of listening and learning with the people at the same time. And we'll be right back with you, y'all. Check this out. We'll be right back. Real Talk with Brothers Kiba.
See, the cat had to be fouled in order for the man to come down on them like that, Jack. Now see, one thing about the man is that the man is not gonna come down on you unless you try to come down on the man. So what we got to do is learn to be righteous when it comes to coming down on the man. Cause if you don't mess with the man ain't gonna mess with you.
Political propaganda machine, controlling the minds of African beings, controlling what I know by what I hear and what I see. Signed the civil rights bill and told me I was free, and I believe. Bush bombed the towers, then said he was protecting me, and I believe. Voluntarily joined his army to fight for freedom overseas, and I believe. We've been bamboozled, run amok, mentally locked down with mind cults, waiting on a crack of the crack in the clouds to come lift me up. Patiently I await while I'm stuck, sinking fast in deceitful quicksand, hit with African images of Tarzan, come out of the madman, giant, goddamn lesbian images of Suge and Feely, cracker images of Nefertiti, in order to justify genocide, first dehumanize, then destroy, portray all blacks to be savages, pimps, hoes, and dope boys, murderers and liars, prevent the rise of another black messiah, discredit and fabricate, colonize and false educate, neutralize self-help with images that force me to self-hate, belittle and berate black women as gold digging holes so that I place no value in them, so mentally distraught I set my sight on a democratic cracker to grant me my human rights, my savior is my enslaver, therefore my enslaver I refuse to fight, American political propaganda machine got me docile, undeserved tribulations and trials, but I'll wait on cracker politicians and white Jesus in the meanwhile, what I am forced to see is what I know, therefore all I know, I've been told, killing recover because I was told it's gold, wearing coats in the summer because I was told it's cold, thoroughly brain stained not to study on my own, propaganda, lies, deceit, mind control, believing I'm walking east but I'm really walking west, a thug with crucified phallic symbols on my chest, be ye not deceived, for all things are political, as long as the hunters write the stories, the prey will always be portrayed as evil.
Monkey see and monkey do. With your mind handcuffed, monkey can you see what they do to you? In plain view, on TV and in phone. Propaganda programming the minds of the youth. Experiments gone wrong. Video victims unwrap the mind of girl age 12. Teaching her that she is her ass and it's for sale. Curious about why two women touch and kiss that way? Never experiencing real love, a victim of rape and molestation. She considers herself to be gay. Propaganda perpetuating perversion as a picture of perfection. A system of degradation and deception that trains the minds of young children and grown women and men that lean into thine own understanding is a sin. So fight black men, fight black men, fight black men and kill the second coming who is a little boy from a stable home. Good mother and strong father providing what he needs but the headphones are on. Saying you're nothing if you ain't no thug, no bling bling, no Chevy, no dub. You a scrub, you hard, so wear your tats, your pants sag and I can see your ass crack. Homo thug, sit back and whack away like Damon on next Friday looking at Tupac. You're not a man if you don't sell the rocks upon which I build my jail. Prison industrial complex, experience in heaven, and black men pay bail just to go to hell. Again, it's propaganda that perpetuates the parasites that permeate through a people that practice death at the expense of someone else's wealth. Whose vision show disdain for us, stains us,
trains us to hate us and blames us for our own demise. Just a disguise that covers the ears and eyes of those with governmental ties. Garvey says that everything is political, though subtle. 1865, free no slaves, so sorry to burst your bubble. Understand that a stick of bologna sliced thin disappears before you miss it. They create the problems and benefits when they try to fix it. Malcolm says that they have the ability to make your enemy seem like your friend and your friend seem like your enemy. Trickology is the medium by which the media implants messages in the minds, you see. For physical digestion, 85,000 years of African spirituality overshadowed by today's European immaculate conception. You make it, I'll take it, and fake it, regurgitate it, just like I baked it to feed to you. I guess with their minds handcuffed, trained monkeys don't see or understand what they do.
Real talk to brothers, keep it by way of MasterRio.com here on blogtalkradio.com. That was mind cuffs, and it does seem like our minds have been handcuffed sometimes. You know, by way of the mainstream media, we tend to believe what the media says, and we don't do any research for ourselves many times, and that is what we will refer to as mind cuffs. All right, thank you all for tuning in, and thank you for coming back. We write Black with you, Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. We're speaking with Sister Michelle Roberts with Not Your Mama's News, and she has a program going on, a program of economic empowerment. And we spoke about it before the musical break, and the sister was telling us how that the community as a whole can just donate $1, and, you know, by the community doing that, we won't have to worry about where our schools are, you know, because we can get schools and maintain schools if everyone would just, you know, donate to a pot that reads My Community. And I, for one, do, you know, believe that that is a very good idea. As a matter of fact, Yale, you and I both have been in churches when we were younger, and just so happened if we ran into a righteous pastor. If someone in the church was hurting, you know, maybe their utility bill needs to be paid or rent or whatever the case may be, the pastor would look at his parishioners and say, everybody give them $1. And the person would be, you know, taking care of whatever bill they needed to use that money for. So this here is definitely, you know, something that can be applied to some of the situations of our people as far as economic empowerment is concerned. What we want you to do, Sister Roberts, is explain to the listening crowd how we can support your program and make it successful.
Okay, well, first of all, let's not think of it as a donation. Donations don't work very well. And there's something on the other end for everybody. First of all, I don't know, did I tell you that I finally published my first book?
Okay.
The name of it is Enigma.
All right. The name of it is what?
Enigma.
Okay.
And it's a very interesting collection of short stories and poetry and some political viewpoints. The reason I brought that up is if you give your dollar to 100,000 angels and help us prove that we as a community have the ability to change our community economically immediately, I'll give you a free copy of Enigma. Also, at the end of the project, we're going to take 10% of the proceeds, and we're going to divide them in lottery fashion, if you will, among the contributors. I should say raffle fashion. So for your dollar, you get a book, and you also get a raffle ticket. More importantly, you get the knowledge that we can change our community. So what we're asking people to do, everybody's having a watch party for inauguration night. We're asking the people at their inauguration parties to share a 100,000 angels experiment, to tell their neighbors and their friends what it is that we're trying to accomplish. To get a dollar from their friends and their family and to contribute it on inauguration night to 100,000 angels.
All right. Is there a website they can log on to by means of PayPal or anything?
NotYourMamasNews.com.
All right. Okay, NotYourMamasNews.com. Will you spell that for the people? Because, you know, we some of us not...
country. It's NotYourMamasNews.com. You can go directly to 100,000 Angels by adding a slash 100,000angels.html.
All right. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And we certainly want to make that program a success. And, you know, like the sister said, we do need to be economically empowered. John Henry Clark said that many of the situations that our youth are going through right now, as far as selling dope, robbing, stealing, or whatever the case may be, if we had of set aside some type of economic structure in order for us to sustain ourselves on an independent basis, there are a lot of situations that we would not be in.
It would change the entire conversation.
Yeah, it really would. You know, so these are things that we're going to have to do in order for our children, you know, not to grow up with criminal, you know, criminal mentalities. No, certainly growing up in that type of environment, you know, when you have a mother who is struggling to do this and struggling to do that, and you have a 14 or 15-year-old son in the home who knows of the struggles of his mother, and, of course, no son wants to see his mother struggling or anything like that. And, you know, if he can't get a legitimate job, the block is always hiring.
Always.
The block is always hiring. You know what I'm saying? So we indeed want to stop some of this degenerate behavior that we have been tricked into getting into a whole lot of times. There's a brother here that, you know, on the beginning of Dead Prayers, the CD, when the brother does his dissertation, he says, in the Arctic, there are hunters who might want to hunt a wolf. And what they'll do is they'll get a sword, a double-edged sword, and they'll stick the sword in some blood. And they'll melt the ice and stick the blade in the, stick the handle of the double-edged blade in the ice so that the blade is only protruding. And they pour the blood on there, and the wolf will come along, and he'll smell the blood, and he'll begin to lick the double-edged blade. And the wolf will think that he's eating. But in actuality, the wolf is killing itself because it's licking a double-edged sword. And that's what crack cocaine has done, you know, to our neighborhoods. You know, most of our young men and women think that they're, you know, getting some type of resource. Mm. And many times we're selling our soul and not even conscious of it, or we're conscious of it and just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely need to economically empower ourselves.
It's symptomatic of the powerlessness that we've been taught to feel. Our churches teach us to feel powerless. The political structure teaches us to feel powerless. I think that what we really see in large part is our children imitating the way that Europeans have divided and conquered for centuries and centuries and centuries, and reenacting it amongst themselves because they feel no other place to reenact it. I think that's the curse of integration. We took the economic power of integration and lost our minds, decided that we would be like what we hate. We thought that in order to earn integration, that you must be worthy, that filthy rag mentality, that we must look like, walk like, talk like that which we desire to participate with, because it would never be a part of. It was simply equal participation. Equal participation is truly based on independence. We have to reacquire our economic base. We have to reacquire our educational base. If we don't teach our children, no one will.
Yeah, that is correct. It is imperative. It is imperative. Big Brother, you want to close us out? We are nearing the end of the show now.
Well, I just want to say that it's been a pleasure to listen to your sister, and you have seemed like a solid plan that no one can dispute. And I just would like to tell my brothers and sisters that we need to get behind this plan, because anything that's empowering us to be the great people that we are, then we all should take part in. And I just want to let the sister know that we stand behind you. We stand behind you in this plan, and we're going to help you push this plan simply because it's for the edification of our people. And if we would understand that no matter what our political or social views may be, that the only plan is to better the lives of our children and ourselves, no matter what kind of position we hold on whatever, if we could just come together for those two reasons alone, then we will be better and we will be great in our own right. So, sister, keep on doing what you're doing. It's much needed. The economic power is much needed. The educational level of our people and our children is much needed. We need somebody on the front of health care. We need somebody on the front of cultural and social issues. We need somebody on every front. So I would just like to send want to ask my people to pick up whatever it is that the Creator has given you to fight with. You picked it up, and let's get busy.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. You have any closing words, sister?
I just want to thank y'all. You know I love you. I love your heart. I love how much you care for our people, and I love how much you love our children. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for spending your time with us this evening. And I know you're a busy person, and we definitely just very glad to be speaking with you on tonight. And we definitely wish this program all the success in the world. And as Big Brother said, we're going to help push it as much as we can. Shout out an email blast about it on our initial conversation about it, and I plan to do that again. And we want to definitely get behind this program. And as Big Bruh said, you know, just to piggyback on his closing statements, that many times, you know, we're such a diverse people within our race. Many of us have different ideologies, philosophies, due to our experiences. You know, my experiences growing up in Hyde Park, North Memphis, are not going to be the same as someone who grew up in Collierville, Tennessee, and respectably so, you know. But as long as we both have a love for our people and we want to see our people free on every end, we should be able to disagree, what did our elder say, to agree to disagree, you know. As long
exactly.
as we want to see our, you know, collective liberation for our people. You know, doesn't matter that I don't eat pork and he does. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
It doesn't
right.
matter. You know what I'm saying? As long as we come together for the collective liberation of our people, that should be, you know, the most important faction of it all, the step toward liberation.
That's the love that will conquer all.
Yes, man. Yes, man. That self, that love for self.
That's
you know,
the one.
Overwhelming love for self. The first law of nature is self-preservation, and we have to learn to love ourselves enough to preserve ourselves.
That's right.
And we definitely thank the listening crowd for tuning in to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. You can always listen to us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com. And again, we want to thank Sister Jackie over there at mastergrio.com for allowing us the opportunity as well as the responsibility and the pleasure of listening and learning with the people all at the same time. And again, Sister Michelle Roberts, we want to thank you for spending your time with us. And we wish your publication much, much, much success, your new book much, much, much success. And anything that we can do, we will do. That is a done deal. And looks like we have two people who called in toward the end of the show. Ain't that something? Let me grab these callers in very quickly.
Okay.
Thank you for calling Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. Who we have on the line here?
You got Cody. Cody Codamus March.
All right.
From the west side of Detroit.
All right, cool, brother. How you doing?
On it. I'm good. I was asking, are the myths true?
All right, more women.
Do the black men have bigger penises than the white men?
No.
You have a real
right.
idea.
Well, there's no use to entertain that. All right, we have 407 on the line. You there?
Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
All right, doing fine. Go ahead. You have a question or a comment? Okay. All right. Well, what a way to end the show. I tell you what, we're going to get back into this music. And, you know, we always have the Asian provocateurs who will call in and try to take the conversation from positive to negative. You know, I mean, that's their job, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what they do. And, you know, we should expect that. And it doesn't upset us and it doesn't surprise us. We just keep on rolling.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So we definitely thank you all for tuning in to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. Again, Sister Michelle Roberts, we thank you for spending your evening with us, and we wish your programs much, much, much success, and we will be behind your programs 1,000,000%. Anything we can do, we will do, as far as your new book and your program. And we thank you so much. And you all will be right back next week. So holler black at us and love yourselves, love yourselves, love yourselves. We say black power, we out. Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. Peace. Yahuru.
Pay pimp Caesar man to wear peasant woman. Where is God? Even your own home is not your own. If your tax money is late, your land I will take, bitch. Better have my money. The laws of the land bear false witness against peasant man. Peasant man must pay pimp Caesar man to be free. Maybe. Pay me or pay the price of jail time, bitch. Better have my money. Peasant man can get drunk but not high. Peasant man can get intoxicated but not high. Peasant man can sell liquor but not drugs. Peasant man cannot get high. You can purchase a liquor store license. You cannot purchase a license to get high. Pay me or pay the price of jail time. 25 years bedtime, bitch. Better have my money. Peasant man cannot purchase sexual favors from peasant woman. Not for reasons of morality, but because pimp Caesar man receives no kickback money from peasant coochie. Pay me or pay the price of jail time, bitch. Better have my money.
Now, see, young whippersnapper, what you gotta do is you gotta get you a hoe. Now, what you gotta do is you gotta put in that hoe's head that you are the very ass that she needs. Hoe, you a diamond out there. And once you get in that hoe's head, once you make that hoe believe that, you got you a good hoe. Now, what you do is you better work that hoe until the hoe can't work no more. You hear me?
Pimp. Caesar been pimping me, pimp. Caesar been pimping my mind, pimp. Caesar been hiding me from me, pimp. Caesar tell me that he is God. My preacher is God. My employer is God. Police is God. My attorney is God. Politician is God. Judge is God. Jury is God. Government is God. President is God. Lord over me, my earthly God. When man places man in God-like positions, man will believe that he is God. We have turned pimp Caesar into God. Man's spirit not God, but man believing that pimp Caesar is God. Therefore, man is out of the will of God. Homosexuality acceptable, pimp Caesar God. Abortion legal, pimp Caesar God. Extortion taxes legal, pimp Caesar God. Racial bias capital punishment legal, pimp Caesar God. Pimp Caesar been pimping God, pimp Caesar been pimping God. Future man been pimping God. Peasant man fears Caesar man because peasant man believes that Caesar is God. Man is out of the will of God. When will man return unto God? When will man return unto God? God. All hail to
except for he is God. Controlling what is considered to be saving for daytime and dark, the changes of the seasons, and too much to the calendar with no valid reasons other than I care. Inventing religion and enforcing it upon man, black to be exact, substantiated by no fact, only belief, all for a 10% piece of the pie. Pimp Caesar's a real fly guy. Just a pimp pushing lies to his hoes, the government, politicians, and preachers, money, cars, and clothes. The similarity shows no one knows where the wild pimp goes or blows up your nose on this war on drugs. Incarcerating so-called thugs as the dealers while he tugs in the pockets and pulls out his money.